This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright.
And I am Rod McKay.
And Rod, we are back. We've been on a bit of a hiatus. I would say, I don't know, 6-7 weeks. But we're back. We're back. We're back better than ever. We've been fielding a fair amount of emails, I will say. People asking what's going on. Why haven't we come up with new episodes? What's going on? We've just been really busy. Really busy the month of August. We kind of thought we'd take the month of August off. Kids are traveling. We're traveling with the kids, all that stuff. But now we are back and we are busy. Rod, how are things on your end? Thank you so much for joining me today.
I was going to say, Corey, you said we took a bit of a hiatus there. I think it's important to note that the podcast took a hiatus. But yeah, we've been quite busy here over here at William Wright Commercial, the Vancouver office, and the rest of the offices across the province.
Well, Rod, you've been on the program at least 5 times, I would say, and I appreciate you joining me on our first one back here as we get ready for fall and winter. But Rod, just in case people haven't heard your previous episodes, maybe give us a quick 2-second recap, just who Rod McKay is and how you ended up in commercial real estate.
Yeah, certainly. So I was born and raised in Vancouver and born into a real estate family, I guess. My father, who's also Rod McKay, I'm Roderick McKay III. He has his own brokerage in town, Maud McKay and Company. And as I was going through school, he asked me what I wanted to do. And I wasn't really sure. So he suggested that I get into real estate. And at the time, I was working at the Yaletown Brewing Company. And a couple of colleagues that I worked with there ended up moving over to William Wright Commercial. They were like-minded guys that were having fun, making money, really liked the culture of William Wright Commercial. So when I decided to make the transition into real estate, it seemed like a natural fit. And it's been over 7 years now with the brokerage and haven't looked back, and it's been a great ride. And just started as team lead of the Vancouver office back in January.
Amazing. No, it's been tremendous having you. Like I said, good things to come. And I think one of the teetering points for me as late that we had to get our new episodes back out here pretty quick. I was walking around the Burnaby Winter Club the other day, which is where my kids play hockey, and I ran into one of the gentlemen there who runs the Winter Club on the hockey side. And he kind of gave me the gears that we hadn't released an episode lately. And I knew, like, okay, you know what? We got to get our act together. We got to get this stuff out there. We're busy. We got to let everyone know what's going on. So we're jam-packed now. We've got the next 6 or 8 weeks full of tremendous guests. I get the program back in regular rotation. But Rod, what's been going on? Let's, like, obviously we want to get people caught up. Things have been busy. I mean, I think if you're watching the media out there, it's talked a lot about doom and gloom in the real estate world for a while. I mean, we had tariffs, so it really threw a big wrench into everything. But I can say from a bird's eye view of what I've seen, I'll let you comment on this as well, it's probably been about June-ish. It took off like a rocket. And July and August traditionally are not very busy months in commercial real estate. You got, everyone doing everything else but commercial real estate. But from a company standpoint, we had our second best July and August in company history, only behind July and August of 2020. That was when COVID really kind of kicked in. It was about June of 2020. The markets just took off like crazy for the COVID era. But this was our second busiest, only behind that June, July, which I think speaks volumes to where things are at. But what have you been seeing on your side? And maybe we'll kind of just jump into some asset classes and what's going on. But what have you seen on your end with regards to things over the past, say, 2 or 3 months?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I guess if we go even further back than 2 or 3 months, go back to the start of the year just to give a full recap of where things started and where we are now. I think in January, there was a ton of optimism in our industry. It looked like there was lots to be excited for. And shortly after the beginning of the year, obviously, our industry and the economy as a whole got shaken up quite a bit for multiple reasons, due in no small part to the threat of the tariffs from our neighbors down south. And then also the uncertainty with what was going on federally with our politics. We had the election, of course. And I think the name of the game for probably the first quarter, almost first couple quarters, was lack of certainty or uncertainty in the marketplace. And it seemed like we hit a pause, especially on the investment side of things. People just weren't really sure where to park their money because they weren't really sure where things were headed. But, you know, yeah, as we progressed into the summer, as you said, June, July, August, those are usually some of our slower months outside of maybe December. July and August are probably our slowest times with people on vacations. You've got brokers away, clients are away, you've got the lawyers are away. So everybody that's trying to put together a real estate transaction is busy with their summer activities. But we started to see a real uptick. And I think part of the reason was that we had seen such a delay in the first quarter where there was a lot of pent-up demand and people just realized, you know, it's time to get back to business. Whether or not there's going to be these tariffs or not, life does go on. And I think a lot of people realized a lot of industries were exempt under CUSMA for these tariffs. So yeah, we saw tons of activity in the summer. Having said that, with the increased activity, it was still a lot more work to put each transaction together, it seemed. People were shopping around a lot more and, you know, things weren't moving at as fast a pace as we generally maybe like to see in this industry. So while we saw increased activity, each transaction took a lot more effort. And fast forward to today, we're just 3 weeks past Labor Day. Everybody's back in their desks, back to business and excited to keep these transactions going.
One thing I think it's really important for people to understand that, I mean, a lot of stats come out and not very many people buy a property and then move in the very next day or close on the very next day. So sometimes it can take some time for these transactions to become stats. And I think one thing that we've been trying to echo is what we see on the front lines with regards to activity, transactions, listing inquirements from vendors now reaching out, trying to fill how much their properties are worth has gone up dramatically. And finally now, a lot of the activity we've been saying on the front lines that we're seeing and feeling is now starting to show up in the stats. Is there anything that you can sort of tie into one reason why you feel like maybe over the past 2 or 3 months, things have picked up dramatically?
Yeah, I think it's really that pent-up demand. Like I said, there was a big pause in general across most asset classes sort of from February till, you know, through May. So I think, you know, there were a lot of deals that were more or less on hold. And then as people started to realize that, like it did in COVID, life goes on, we just started to see more and more transactions come through that were probably always still there, but just hadn't quite come through. I think, you know, it's very different from asset class to asset class. So some areas are doing a lot better than others. For instance, retail in Yale Town, I've noticed any kind of lease that you get there seems to get scooped up pretty quickly. On the sales side of things, you have to be quite well priced. Anything that's priced high just tends to sit on the market. But good assets that are well priced are still moving, and there certainly are buyers. But again, it's just a very price sensitive market. So things do need to be priced sharply to move.
Now, do you think, I mean, obviously, you know, you touched base a little bit there, that people are just kind of realizing that this is just another thing that we have to deal with. It feels like the past 4 or 5 years, we've had everything from COVID, which obviously was sort of a pandemic that took the world by storm. Then you had inflationary costs, you had high interest rates. Now we're dealing with tariffs. We've had political challenges. Is it just people are kind of like, hey, you know what? We just got to move on. We got to do transactions. That's kind of just spurring that dramatic increase in trend in volume that we've seen.
So I think it's partly that, but also I think that in a lot of cases, vendor or seller expectations have also adjusted. For a couple of years there, we were really seeing sellers trying to hang on to the 2021, early 2022 pricing. And, you know, it just became evident over a couple of years of product not moving at those prices that there is going to need to be an adjustment and a fairly major adjustment of that. And I think in a lot of cases, we've seen that where we have seen pricing come down and buyers in markets like this, they're generally looking for deals. And we're finally starting to see some of those deals start coming through. So I think that's probably part of it, why we're seeing more transactions is more realistic pricing. Also, I think, there was that lack of certainty. And I think in Canada, we're still waiting to see how things will go. We've got the federal government came into power, and then they were on a bit of a hiatus themselves. I think they might have gone in tandem with the podcast in terms of the vacation here. But I think we might have a budget to look at in sometime in November, I'm told. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what kind of deficits we see for that and how the markets respond. But yeah, I guess we'll wait to see for that.
What does the last half of this year look like now that we're starting to see all this stuff pick up and move in that direction? What do you think happens the next 4 to 5 months as we head into fall winter here?
Yeah, I mean, I think, assets that are priced well will move. You know, when vendors are reaching, I think it's just things will sit on the market a little bit longer. So I think as long as people are realistic with their pricing and their lease rates, there generally are buyers and tenants for that. So I think the name of the game for the next few months is pricing things accordingly, and you will find the right buyer. But anything that's priced too high, again, there's a lot of inventory out there that will sit.
Is there any one asset class you think will sort of lead the charge towards the end of this year?
I mean, everything that I'm seeing, it seems like retail in the asset class that's come out of this that's looking really strong, specifically well-located retail assets, strip malls, spaces with good income that have strong future redevelopment potential. Seems like there's a lot of well-qualified groups that are looking for those types of assets, and they're fairly challenging to find. And of course, everyone's looking for a very high cap rate, and the sellers still, want to trade it at a lower cap rate. But there certainly are some transactions that are starting to happen there. I don't know what you're seeing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you nailed it on the head when you said pricing earlier. I think it's really, really important to how things kind of play themselves out here moving forward. And I think also feel a little bit on the lender side. And again, maybe I'm overreaching by saying this, but I do think maybe lenders didn't lend as much money at the start of their fiscal years or the start of the calendar year, that maybe they're having to be a little bit more creative on the lender side of things, which is maybe opening up some opportunity for purchasers and sellers to move product that maybe the criteria that maybe was sat there previously isn't as high as it once was at the start of the year, just because the book of business hasn't been put into the marketplace yet because there was a bit of a slog there to start the year. So I think all of that combined, things are trending in the right direction. One thing I'm curious, Rod, is multifamily. That's always kind of feels like it's been a safe haven for investors. You did hear a lot of things back in 2024 and 2023, beds and sheds, and that was referring to industrial and multifamily. Where do those two asset classes sit today, in your opinion there? Are they good investment opportunities? Are they still kind of somewhat challenged? Where's the beds and sheds at?
Yeah, well, they've both certainly seen a bit of a dip. I think multifamily investment fell about 50% year over year, and industrial was about a 38% drop. But having said all that, we've also seen a bit of a stall in development for the last few years, really, just with the price of land and how challenging it is to finance these deals. So, in both markets, especially multifamily and industrial, you're going to see a lack of supply coming down the road because there's really not all that much product being built. So I think long-term investors, they're still very solid investments. The industrial, it was kind of hard to keep the pace that it was going for a while. It looked like, it went from, we started at in 2019, we saw stuff trading at 300 a foot. That was going for 700 a foot. A couple of short years later, seemed like we were going to hit $1,000 per square foot pretty quickly. But I guess all good things must come to an end, or at least slow down, rather. And as a result of that, we saw a drastic cutoff in industrial development. So as we see the supply get scooped up, the current supply, there's not going to be that much new supply for tenants and buyers. And I think you're going to see vacancy rates drop again. So long-term, certainly still a sound investment.
Now, with multifamily there, we've had a lot thrown at that asset class. It feels like starting off with Airbnb restrictions that took a lot of maybe short-term rental and put into the long-term rental stock for condo owners, which probably put additional pressure on the multifamily asset class. You've had immigration numbers flat, if not down, compared to previous years. You had international students that have been restricted coming in. Does the multifamily market rebound? It feels like vacancy rates, and I say that with a caveat because in BC we've had such low unrealistic vacancy rates for so long. Do you think all this stuff puts that asset class in jeopardy moving forward, considering the cap rates are relatively low?
Yeah, I suppose short term, it'll probably see some challenges. But I mean, it's such a desirable place to live. And eventually, you know, once we have the immigration numbers coming back, I would imagine it'll still be a strong asset class. It's multifamily isn't a sector that I personally do a lot of work in, but it's been seen for so long as such a safe asset to invest in here. And sure, the numbers are a bit down, but you know, I imagine we'll see a bit of a comeback.
Any surprises? Any surprises either you've seen over the past few months that have caught you off guard, or any surprises you think looking into the future that may people may not be completely prepared for?
Nothing off the top of my head. What about I throw that question right back to you that you're surprised about, Corey?
I think if anything, I think, you know, as of late, it feels like office activities picked up a lot on the office side of things. There's been some pretty large transactions downtown on the acquisition side. I do feel like some of those larger scale pension funds and all that stuff now are asking about office space again, which was, you know, deafening for the past couple of years, for sure. Now, I don't think it's roaring back in 2026, but I do think from an investment side of things, people may have a bit of a brighter outlook that maybe vacancy will start to subside. Obviously, nothing's getting built. There's a lot of office product in Vancouver, especially, that was kind of in the mix pre-pandemic that got delivered, unfortunately, at a really, really unfortunate time. But I think that was a little bit surprising there. I do think there's optimism surrounding that asset class that we haven't heard of for quite a while. I think if retail, I agree with you, is going to be a darling moving forward. It's everyone's chasing the same asset, it feels like. So surprise-wise, I think maybe the office would be the one thing that jumps out at me. Development land is going to be very interesting to see how that plays itself out. It does feel like that's still having to work itself through the system. There's still quarter in sales, you see. I will say it's not as much as we felt in the past 6 months right now, but I do think development land will eventually get its legs back. I think it comes down to vendor expectations. So I wouldn't be surprised if the office sector starts making headlines again in 2026 towards the latter half of that year, that maybe some people aren't expecting it to make as much noise as it potentially could.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there on the office side of things. We actually had a number of offices listed, strata office units, that were on the market for quite some time. And we did a pretty sharp price reduction. We ended up selling 6 units in about 2 weeks. So that kind of goes back to saying that product that is priced appropriately will move. And yeah, I mean, if you look at the office market, you are seeing the vacancy rate still creep up a little bit, but there are certainly a lot more deals being done than maybe you were seeing a couple of years ago. So it looks like, you know, office in downtown Vancouver might be making a bit of a comeback as well.
Any one market that you're excited about moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think I really like the Delta market, especially for industrial. You've got some really big infrastructure upgrades that you can look to there. You've got the George Massey Tunnel project that's obviously been talked about for a really long time. But once that's built, that's really going to open things up. You've also got the Delta Port expansion. So I think looking at the industrial sector in Delta specifically would be a really good buy. You're seeing pricing probably, depending on where it is, 10 to even 20% off of the peak. So buying in today, I think, would be a really good buy. So we actually just put together a deal for almost $6 million for a strata industrial deal in Delta. And we ended up getting the deal done due to some creative financing on a vendor take back mortgage. But I think for the purchaser, even though we still sold it to them for $585 a foot, I think long term, Delta has a great outlook for industrial properties.
Amazing. Rod, I know we always sort of do our six-pack of lighthearted questions. This is kind of our episode to get things going again. Do you have a few minutes to stick around? I know I've had to custom make a six-pack here for you. You've been on the program so many times. Do you have a few more minutes to hang out with us?
I sure do.
All right, first question up, Rod. It is September 22nd, the day we're recording this. Right around the corner, it starts the NHL season. I know you're a Canucks fan. I know you're a hockey fan. Do the Canucks make the playoffs this year?
I'm an optimist, so I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
Where do they finish in the rankings? Do we catch people off guard like we did a couple years ago, or do we squeak in?
I think it's probably a squeak-in scenario if we make it there. But, you know, I honestly am not keeping up with it as much as a lot of others. I know that you're you're at the rink every weekend with your kids, so you're probably talking hockey a lot more than I am.
Next question up. Do the Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup again?
I sure hope not. Although they do have a lot of good Canadians and some local guys from around here on their team. But yeah, it'd be nice to see a Canadian team take it home.
Does Connor McDavid sign in Edmonton? And if he does, long-term or short-term?
Geez, you're asking me all the questions like I'm a hockey expert.
I'm giving you the gears right now.
I'm gonna say yes and long-term.
Yes and long-term. Okay, next question up. Does Elias Pettersson get more than 20 goals this year?
I said to be determined, but let's just go with yes.
Does Elias Pettersson get more than 70 points?
I believe I said yes.
If money was no object, what car would you buy?
You know, I feel like the last few times I've said this, I said I'm just happy with, a Toyota 4Runner. But I've been looking at these Ineos Grenadiers lately. These things are like tanks, basically. A contractor actually that I've done some deals with drives one, and I think I'd like one of those.
All right, Rod, we appreciate taking the time to join us as always there. How can our listeners find out more about what you're doing at William Wright Commercial in Vancouver? If they have any questions about the market moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. So they can find out all the information on our current listings and the info for our agents at williamwright.ca. You can find all my information there as well, roderick@williamwright.ca, or you can call me on my cell, 604-763-5510.
Amazing, Rod. Thank you once again for joining us on the podcast. And we're glad to get this thing launched up again. And we're back.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me again, Corey.
Thanks so much, Rod. Take care.
Subscribe today.